Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Jindal Saw Limited post-result conference call hosted by PhillipCapital (India) Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikas Singh from PhillipCapital (India) Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Vikas.
I welcome you all on Jindal Saw 4Q FY22 earnings conference call. Today we have with us the senior management of Jindal Saw, Mr. Neeraj Kumar, Group CEO and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Vinay Gupta, President and Head Treasury, and Mr. Narendra Mantri, President and Head Commercial and also CFO. So without taking much time, I'd just like to tell Mr. Neeraj Kumar to start with the opening remark. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to all our friends, stakeholders, listeners. Thank you very much for taking some time to join us. I know this is a midweek. This is a busy day for all of you, but we just finished our board meeting on 31st, and this was the earliest window that we got, and we thought it's important that we talk to all of you and we make sure that all of you understand our perspective on the results and how do we see some pointers and guidelines on how do we see the time coming ahead of us. So let's look at now first the results. Top line, 11,243 crores as compared to 8,900 crores last year. EBITDA, 1,385 crores as compared to 1,257. Financial expenses, 369 versus 404. Depreciation, 372-346. PBT of 637 and PAT of 405. Now, if we look at these results and compare it with the last year's results, it gives comfort that we are indeed now coming out of the valley, and on top line, on business, we are approaching pre-COVID levels, and in fact, on many parameters, we have pierced through that. So that's the first top line comfort that we all need to take, that as an organization, multiple factors contributing, we are approaching in many factors, we have pierced the pre-COVID level. A look at an EBITDA still gives us something to think about, and we all know how the basic commodity prices have behaved in the last, particularly 6 months, whether it is coal, whether it is iron ore, how their behavior has been. And if we normalize our EBITDA margin, you would all be able to see that it will give you a very definite confirmation that as Jindal Saw, we are ahead of the curve. So the only concern that we have in these results is the raw material prices, which have been moving in the commodity market. Now, what are we doing about it? What we have done about it so far? The first thing that I would like to point to our stakeholders, people who take interest and follow us. For the last few quarters, consistently, we have kept our order book low. We have the sweet spot or the comfort zone used to be around 1 billion, and we have been in and around 600 crore-700 crore for the last few quarters, and we have always emphasized that this is by choice. I would draw your attention that now when there is a volatility in the market so much, we have absolutely adjusted ourselves, and we are performing very well with this new normal of an order book in the range of 600 crore. This gives us a opportunity to adjust our contract values. This gives us a protection against how much inventory we would have and how much we are exposed to the spot price movement in our raw materials. Since it's a deliberate attempt to keep it at that level, please note we are not letting the top line get impacted. The execution, we have been able to now create an operating efficiency where the execution of the contract and the filling of the order book is getting so well calibrated that our turnover has gone from 8,900 crore-11,200 crore without disturbing the order book. Therefore, this is something that as an organization, we have consciously taken that as a strategy to hedge or to partially give comfort from the very volatile commodity market. Second, you would also see that particularly in the DI segment, the order book is low. Again, that is by choice because we are working with the government. We are trying to impress upon them that a PVC, as we call, a price variation clause, is an essential part for supply of pipes. Where they are item rate contracts, where the government buys the pipes directly from us, we have been able to succeed in many states to get the price variation clause included in the tender document, where they go through the EPC model. There again, we are impressing upon the government that please include this and make it such that the movement, because it's not at this point of time, it is a benefit, but when the price moves the other way, we will have to adjust. The price variation is passed on to the suppliers even in an EPC model. Since we are working with the various agencies, various government, it is best that we have kept our order book low. Our fixed price order book is deliberately kept low. Since it is by choice, we look at our execution for the month or the quarter. Accordingly, we just keep on filling the order book. Therefore, even with a lower level of around 600,000-700,000 order book, the execution is not getting impacted, and we are able to create a hedge in terms of a better correlation between the pricing as well as the raw material, the pricing of the product as well as the raw material side. We are working actively with government to have the price variation clause included in their contract, either through the EPC model or through the direct price model. This, we believe, would give us in the coming year a lot of comfort, lot of practical business kind of a hedge. We will not be able to obtain a perfect hedge, but we would definitely have a significant amount of hedge which is available. And why I say not a perfect hedge? Because even if the price variation clauses are there, there is always a formula where there is an indexation. Also, if you see the coal prices, there are some monthly averages which keep in. So, a penny-to-penny hedging practically is not possible. So, that is something which I thought it's important to spell it out. It's important to let our friends know on how we are seeing this and how we are dealing with this in the coming forward. This gives us the comfort that the EBITDA margin will not only get preserved, but now I would focus my attention on a few other things which will take the EBITDA margin above those percentages of 14 and 15% in the coming year. We hope that it will move. The second important thing that Jindal Saw has benefited, and it's important to again point it out, is our robust business model. Whatever we have kind of get impacted by the raw material movement in terms of iron ore, coal, it has had a compensatory effect because of the pellets, because they all are correlated. Now, with the new export policy on these products in place and the softening, even though it is a little bumpy, but still there is a softening in the coal and iron ore prices, we expect that there would be some easing out on the NSR of pellets, but simultaneously, it would have a compensatory effect on our other product line, namely the large dia, which is the LSAW, HSAW, and DI. So, this robust business model in Jindal Saw gives us a very effective and a solid protection, especially in a volatile situation. We do understand that we don't have the spikes that some people may have when you are on the right side of the curve. But as an organization, we have chosen to have build a robust safety, and therefore the performance of Jindal Saw has been consistent over the years, and I'm sure you would, all of you would be analyzing it. So the robust business model is important. Now, working capital, if you see the interest cost, even though the inventory has gone up because of the depreciation of rupee, the inventory value has gone up because of the commodity prices going up, still if you see the weighted average cost of capital has come down largely because of a more efficient treasury management. Continuously, the treasury team is working at getting the most optimal resources in terms of cost, in terms of tenor, in terms of, and that's where if you see the large debt, the long-term funding has also come down. Working capital has gone up primarily because of the depreciating rupee, primarily because of the commodity prices going up, but nothing to be worried, nothing to be concerned, because as I told you, the working capital cycle in terms of order book, execution, inventory, everything is being very closely monitored, and we are seeing the impact of that. Therefore, the financial charges have also come down. Consequently, now the PBT, PAT, they are all a direct consequence of all these efforts, and that has gone up. So this is where I would say a high-level analysis of how we see the results, I'm absolutely sure a lot of you are analysts would be doing your modeling. My request would be use this opportunity to discuss much larger issues. If you have specific questions, Mr. Rajiv Goyal is sitting here. He is listening to my entire conversation. Number level questions, please forward it to him by mail so that he can answer you by mail. And therefore, that would avoid any confusion, that would avoid any, details that you, everything that you need for your financial modeling in terms of numbers, my sincere request, please send a mail, we will definitely respond. Turning my attention to the consolidated results, if we see the top line is 13,451 as opposed to 10,870, 1555, the rest follows. This indicates that now the other subsidiaries are beginning to do well. Particularly, we need to talk about Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi DI facility this year has again broken the last year record, which by itself was a record. So we have broken 2 year record in a row. We are performing well. EBITDA margins are good. It did get impacted because of the pig iron prices a little bit, but the business plan is now very robust and it is continuing to do well. The prognosis we see is very good for the DI business. One more significant development on the Abu Dhabi facility. I must mention that UAE Abu Dhabi has recently allowed 100% foreign ownership. Jindal Saw is among the few, the first large investments, large organizations, large establishment in Abu Dhabi to get a 100% foreign ownership. And therefore, now, this year onwards, Abu Dhabi would be a 100% consolidated subsidiary of Jindal Saw. So, just to give you a sense, last year means the year which has just gone by, 31st March 2022, the order of magnitude of top line in our Abu Dhabi facility was $200 million, which is $200 million is what? $200 million into
1,750 crores.
Okay. So the top line was upward of $200 million. EBITDA was in the vicinity of $17-18 million. So now, being a consolidated joint, consolidated subsidiary of Jindal Saw, going forward, Jindal Saw would have the benefit of 100% consolidation of these numbers. So they are definitely going to contribute to the results in starting 1st April. So that is one significant change that you would notice. The second thing that you would have also seen that there have been some movement in the non-current asset or the loans, advances, the category of where it is other than the normal working capital of Jindal Saw. I'm sure all of you would have noticed that, as you all know, it has been our constant endeavor to clean up Jindal Saw from all perspective and make it a flagship operating company of the P.R. Jindal Group. These are all a result of that some of the loans which were shown there or which was there have now started showing movement. A lot of loans have been repaid. A lot of loans we have tried to convert so that we can move it out. So there is a very active now movement on the loans and advances or the other non-current assets which are other than the working capital. And I'm sure during the year, we have a definitive plan to bring this under control, except for the loans that have been given to JITF, which is linked to the litigation, the High Court. So if you leave that aside, all the others is under attention, is we have a definitive plan, and during this year, we see a definite movement towards a reduction in all of them. Significant to point out, we have been talking about it, but now we are on a firm path. Jindal Quality Tubular, which is the stainless business, Jindal Fittings, and our LSAW Indore plant, which is Jindal Tubular. All three are getting merged with Jindal Saw. This is going to give Jindal Saw a significant advantage because fittings and DI, they go together hand in hand, absolutely correlated. Stainless steel, alloy steel, carbon steel, now put together makes us a very formidable player because we have done an analysis. Almost 60% of the A-class customers, the A-class, which I mean, is using the 80-20 principle. So 60% of the A-class customers have CS, AS, and SS requirement all put together. So it gives us a very significant advantage in terms of a product range. Our stainless steel business has begun to do very well. I'm very happy to report that even esteemed organizations in the sectors of space, nuclear, now are beginning to look at us. We have started supplying to them, somewhere under trial, somewhere under approval. Another very significant development in that area is the joint venture of Hunting. As you all know, we have announced, I'm happy to let you know that the joint venture company has been incorporated. The work has started. The company, as we speak, is fully capitalized. Both shareholder funds have come in. We did that in anticipation of the Ukraine-Russia war, that if India gets sanctioned, our money should not get stuck. And Hunting also saw the reason, and therefore we have capitalized the joint venture fully from both partners. And this was done to just rule out that unlikely event of the American sanctions trying to block any investment from an American company into India. So, but that has given the joint venture a very solid balance sheet to start with. I'm happy to tell you that the treasury team has been able to organize the term loan. They are now organized the working capital, and therefore the joint venture is fully now, from a finance perspective, ready to carry out its operations, buy all the equipment, pay everything, and it's on full force. All the equipments have been ordered. We have gone for the best of class, best in the world. All the equipments are from the best suppliers around the world, mostly Japanese. The intent between the partners is very clear. This joint venture would be a center of excellence. Now, when we talk about the technology field, a center of excellence has a certain connotation, has a certain meaning. So the joint venture would be a center of excellence, the only of its kind in this region, even from a hunting perspective. And it would place the Nasik, which is a CS, AS and other businesses, into a very different league, because as we all know, hunting has a lot of patented products and which are second to none. So Jindal Saw will now, with this joint venture, be able to gain a lot from the Indian Atmanirbhar scheme, because all these products so far has been imported. Now we expect that we would be able to supply it in India, from India, from our Nasik plant, which is good news even for the Nasik plant, because then that will be the raw material, or that would be the input that would go into the hunting facility, which is co-located in Nasik. And there again on the ground, the sheds and everything is absolutely on track. We are expecting that we will soft launch second half of this year. So by September, October, we are expecting a soft launch. We are working with potential clients. We are potentially, and we are also attracting a lot of other technologies. Because hunting being what they are, all their technology partners across the globe, which also adds to the whole product portfolio, accessories, they are also getting attracted, because they all have a foothold in India in a joint venture where one of the partners is America. So that ticks a lot of boxes for a lot of technology partners, because having an American partner already in a joint venture, then when it comes to governance, things like those boxes are automatically ticked. So we are attracting a lot. So hunting joint venture will be a very, very important step for us to propel this business, which is the carbon steel, alloy steel, stainless steel, tubes and pipes, into high value added segment. We also have a definitive plan. As you know, we are among the few who have a very heavy extrusion press. We intend to again move that into a value added segment. So duplex, super duplex, these are segments that we are all aiming. Quality systems are being put in place, and we hope to move in that segment. So that would be one of the key drivers which should help us propel the organization into a different league, and it would be a value-added product, therefore the EBITDA margin is likely to improve. DI, as you all know, we have participated in Sathavahana transaction. The results are awaited in terms of all the evaluation, etc., has happened. There is a small legal hitch. A Dubai-based company has made a representation, and we hope that the courts will take a view on it very quickly. And once that happens, then let's see. If that happens, then Sathavahana would be in our portfolio. A straight 25% increase in the capacity, and a foothold in South India. So all told, with all these movements, this year we see some significant movement on the Jal Jeevan mission, because 24 is coming close, which is the time when Mr. Prime Minister would like to go for the next general election, we expect a lot of movement in the Jal Jeevan mission, which translates into LSAW, HSAW, DI pipes for us, HDP pipes for us. We are completely ready to take on that whatever opportunity comes our way. I think I have covered all of those. As I said, okay, duty, export duty, as we all know, government, there are indications that the senior government officials, even the PMO, has been involved in it. Essentially, it is going to have a softening impact on the commodities, which is largely good for us, because then our LSAW, HSAW, DI, etc. will improve. It would have a compensatory effect on pellets, as we say. So with all of these high-level remarks, let me stop, take few questions. My team, Mr. Vinay, who is the treasurer, Narendra Mantri, CFO, and Mr. Rajiv Goyal, who is a part of Vinay's team, we are all here. I repeat, specific questions towards numbers which you would require for your financial modeling, please send a mail. We would be happy to respond to you on mail, because that way then it's accurate, it's transparent, it is more firm. But otherwise, any questions, I would welcome to take a few questions. We have some time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pratiksha Daftari from Equitas. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was on the pellet side. If you could elaborate on what would be the near-term impact of this export duty, especially for the orders that were already booked or in pipeline, and how does the duty play out for those orders?
Okay. Export stuck in pipeline are very small in nature. I'm told that the industry is representing that all of these which are already either in high seas or orders should get an exemption, and we are hopeful that we will be also be able to get that general exemption. Even if it doesn't come, the amount is not significant. There are no many, because anyway, as you see, our pellet, the catchment area for us, the natural advantageous area for us is Gujarat. Our capacity and supply in Gujarat kind of balances very well with each other. So going forward, yes, we do see a general softening of prices a little bit. But to answer your specific question, that are we stuck because of the policy coming in between, the answer is insignificant.
Okay. And if you could comment on DI, outlook, given the capacity addition that we are going to see in Q, somewhere Q1, Q2, how does that affect our outlook and, basically pricing in
DI outlook, we see a very good outlook. A, 24 general elections coming close. Jal Jeevan Mission, our top line initiative of Government of India. States following the path various schemes, Jal Se Nal scheme and all that. So all of those macroeconomic and other factors are supporting a healthy tender flow. DI business for us, our Gujarat plant is operating now to capacity. We have added a new finishing line for exports, which is specifically focused on exports. As you all know, we have got up to 1200. Also, it's important for all of you to note there has been a good development in Europe. We have been able to achieve a patent for our double chamber pipes. So now our effort would be to try and get the double chamber DI pipes into India as well, especially in difficult terrains. If we do that, since we have a patent now in Europe, we'll try and take the advantage of that, get a similar quality or a benchmark for only quality products or producers in the DCP market. So DI, we are very hopeful. On Safwana, as I said, which will add up to 2.5 lakhs ton of capacity, on Safwana, except for the indication that we are very keen, we are very interested, we are in the queue. I wouldn't like to say much because the matter is at this point of time with NCLT. And we hope that it would get sorted out very soon. If we are successful, it would change the landscape of our DI market because we would be a dominant player in South as well. Thank you.
So basically we are not seeing any pricing pressure, or we are not envisaging any pricing pressure because of increased capacity. Demand will be strong. Is that what you are saying?
Yes. At this point of time, the demand is strong to the extent that a few places we have even seen, just to take care of the pipe demand, some governments are even looking at permitting HDPE pipes, which was earlier DI pipes. So they are converting because, as I told you, 2024 is coming close. So there is enough demand to accommodate everybody, and so there is not going to be any pricing pressure.
Okay. One question on the saw pipe side. So also order book seems very strong. So is it that we are seeing that demand has started picking up strongly in this segment? And secondly,
all around, as I told you in my opening remarks, now we are seeing the economic activities similar to pre-COVID levels.
Okay. And what would be the impact of raw material volatility specifically to this segment, to this order book that we have?
To the extent, I have already elaborated in detail how we are trying to hedge, and wherever we are able to get a price variation clause, then we are largely protected.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arijit Datta from Kotak MF. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for your brief explanation of the result. So my question is mainly on the DI pipe as a segment. Now, what I understand that in the last 2 years, while I agree that the demand is strong, especially we are heading for an election, Jal Jeevan years now, but here there are many players, especially in the East, who have minted money. I'm talking about the steel players who have minted money in the last 2 years, especially the smaller one. And they are contemplating for growth drivers, post this export tax and the infrastructure overhang that we are seeing and the housing overhang. What are the roadblocks they will face, or what are the moats we are having in the DI pipes as a segment?
I got your question. I have already partially hinted at that. we are constantly moving the quality and the product bar up, and therefore it would be an uphill task for people who are not used to this segment to catch up. Double chamber pipes all have been developed, and it's a very, very definitive entry barrier for people who do not understand quality. Thinner pipes.
But for the basic pipes, only a capacity of say 100 crores will be, only a CapEx of 100 crore will suffice them to enter this segment, you think?
No.
Not.
Because the answer is no. Why no? Because DI pipe, the manufacturing of DI pipe is A, capital intensive, B, technologically you need advanced things. For example, your basic route is hot metal. So you need to have either a blast furnace or an electric arc furnace or an induction furnace. In India, blast furnace, because you have abundance of iron ore, is the most efficient route. And therefore, the shorter route of induction furnace, electric arc furnace, is available, but economically it is not viable. So by itself, if you have to have a blast furnace, then the 100 crore investment that you are talking about is not enough. Then you have to have a centrifugal casting machine, which is also now becoming very, very sophisticated. And because of that sophistication, the quality in terms of the weight, in terms of the dimensions, we are raising it to a different level. Annealing is a must. Annealing furnace is again a huge, heavy investment. Plus, it is energy incentive. Energy intensive. You need a source of energy. Either you use natural gas, we use the blast furnace gas, so it makes it cost effective. And then you need a finishing line. So to set up a DI plant is among the more difficult as compared to, for example, if I give you a comparison, setting up an LSAW/HSAW plant is far simpler than setting up a DI plant. In DI plant, you start from hot metal. There, your raw material is either plates or coils. Plus, it doesn't go through the same process of finishing. In DI, the finishing is very, very significant, tedious. You need zinc aluminum, you need internal cement lining. Then on top of it, you have to have a PU or a coal tar or a tape. So setting up a DI plant is not easy. Plus, as an organization, if you are not used to very high quality standards, you will have to go up the learning curve.
Sir, very, very well explained. Sir, if a steel plant is having a blast furnace, say 1 million ton capacity or somewhat 1 million ton capacity, what would be the approx cost per ton for setting up a DI plant from there, if they already have a blast furnace?
If they already have a blast furnace, then it all depends what kind of a continuous casting versus CCM, what size they want to go. But let me put it this way, to set up a DI facility of the capacity and nature, we have 500,000 ton in Gujarat. Today, the replacement cost of that would be upward of 1,000 crores.
No, no. 1,000 crore is for 200,000 ton. Since we have 500,000, so it will be more than 2,000.
More than 2,000 crores. No, but he's saying if you have a blast furnace.
Yeah, no, I'm saying replacement of 500,000 ton.
A replacement of a 500,000 ton would be close to 2,000 crores.
Yes.
But if you remove the blast furnace, then as I said, it will be upward of 1,000 crores.
Very well explained, sir. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aashav Patel from Molecule Ventures PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, for FY22, DI pipe segment, what proportion of sales is coming from older, lower-priced contracts?
In the current year, you say?
Yes, sir.
No, in the current year, the proportion coming from the... There are, okay, you have asked two questions. What proportion is coming from the older contracts and what proportion is coming from the lower price, fixed price contracts?
Yes.
Both... are you talking historically? Are you talking about my current year?
Both current year in the context of historical...
Okay, so current year in the context of... In current year, the entire order book is spillover, which is about some $180 million for DI, is all old contracts which will get spillover into this year. But how much of those are going to remain at the old price or a fixed price contract? Again, I will tell you, it's a very insignificant. Even when there are fixed prices, we have approached the EPC guys, and in a lot of places, we have been able to secure price increase. PVC clause is being introduced. We are talking to the central government. We have had discussions that they should do it and give the benefit of the existing contracts as well. So in the current year, are we saddled with fixed price old contracts? The answer is very low, because even the existing contracts, we have succeeded in getting a price increase or repricing them.
Sure. And for FY22, sir, what proportion of sales would be coming from older price contracts, say FY21 pricing or FY20 prices?
I think it would be contained in the note. Vinay, can you just...
No, so
it's current year probably wants to know the revenue pie of how much, which segment.
What we can tell you right now is that water segment was close to 50% of the total sales. We sold close to 450,000 ton of ductile pipe during FY22.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sir, kindly, can you please throw some light on expansions done by unlisted players in DI pipe segment? So there is very limited information available publicly on those. For example, I read somewhere even Rashmi Metallics is undergoing expansion.
It would be inappropriate for me to talk about others. I'm sure you would get a chance to talk to Rashmi about Rashmi. Because my saying anything about them, would be appropriate.
Sure, sure. And sir, roughly, industry is seeing almost 50% of expansion over next 2 to 3 years as per announced. So various players announced capexes who were not earlier into DI pipe segment. So do you see there could be a situation of oversupply 2 to 3 years down the line once the elections and everything is completed? And then the ramp up would be difficult?
The answer is, once this Jal Jeevan mission is fully implemented in India, you may see a slowing down of primary demand. But as Jindal saw, we are moving in a value added segment. Our main plant is in Gujarat, very close to the port. World over, if you see, China has been the biggest supplier of DI pipes to the rest of the world. That is changing. People are not accepting Chinese products, whether it is Europe or it is Middle East. We already have a foot in Abu Dhabi. So this combination of a port plant or a closer to port plant in India, Abu Dhabi, at this point of time, I must tell you, we have live contracts from our Abu Dhabi facility. We are supplying to over 30 countries at this point of time. So the Jindal Saw name is well known across all the international players. Abu Dhabi facility goes to up to 2000 mm. And therefore, there is a significant advantage that Jindal Saw India and Abu Dhabi work in tandem, where Abu Dhabi facility focuses more on the higher, above 1200. And so that's the advantage that Jindal Saw has, which none of these existing players or none of these new entrants would have. So we welcome, it's always welcome. New competition, new thing is always welcome because expansion of market is always welcome. But are we concerned? The answer is no. We have USPs which are very difficult to match.
Thank you for the detailed explanation, sir. It was very insightful. My last question, except Sathavahana, are we planning to undergo some DI expansion or our existing facility?
Now, since Sathavahana is so close, we are focusing on Sathavahana. Let's see. If we turn successful, then we will have one path. If we are not successful, then we will have another path.
Sure.
So at this point of time, we are focusing on Sathavahana so that we know the outcome, and then we can decide the next step.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, Neeraj, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, earlier, maybe two, three calls earlier, you did spoke about non-core asset sales, wherein Jindal Saw would be looking to exit. Where are we in terms of finalizing our plans for the non-core assets, sir?
I did cover in my initial presentation all the non-core assets now. Okay. Once we have this merger scheme covered, then what would be Jindal Saw as a corporate entity? Jindal Saw would be a large flagship company of P.R. Jindal, focused on all segments of pipes and tubes in India, starting from carbon steel, alloy steel, stainless steel, HDPE, DI, LSAW, HSAW, along with fittings and accessories, along with the value-added products. So this will be Jindal Saw. It would have one subsidiary, JITF, where the arbitration, hopefully now July, we will have a progress. The other subsidiary would be this Hunting joint venture we have already spoken about. Then there would be one subsidiary which will take us to the Abu Dhabi, which is now 100%. I have already given you the details that it would add at least $200 million to the top line and approximately $20 million to the EBITDA. And we have one line going to U.S., which is our Jindal Saw, which is the coating facility in U.S. That's all. So Jindal Saw would become very, very clean. Now let's come to the loans and advances, which are sitting on the balance sheet of Jindal Saw, which is in between. It is neither the fixed asset nor the working capital. That, as I have told you, you would see in this time in the balance sheet, there has been a noticeable movement and noticeable movement towards its reduction. During this year, you would see a significant movement where all these loans would be moved out. So we have a definitive plan and we will move it out. So at the end of it, it will be Jindal Saw with the subsidiaries which I have mentioned, Abu Dhabi, U.S., Hunting primarily, and for the time being, JITF till we get the court orders. That's all. And that should significantly improve the Jindal Saw performance in terms of capital employed and all of those other parameters, because then it would be purely an operating marketing company and a truly market leader.
There were some waste-to-wealth plants also, I think so. We had some investment. We were planning some sale of around 200 crore odd, if I remember correctly.
The loan, okay. Okay. Waste-to-energy business now by itself has turned out to be a profitable business for the group, where now we are by far the leader in the country. many plants have become operational, but the linkage to Jindal Saw is only to JUISL, where there was a few hundred crores. We have seen some development. They have started repaying whatever that was owed to Jindal Saw. During this year, we would see a more significant movement in that. So the linkage, the small linkage between Jindal Saw and the waste to energy business should come to an end during this year, because now that business is under another listed entity, which is the Jindal Infra. It was demerged when it was a demerged, it was a vertical split, so it's a listed entity. Under that, that business exists. But the linkage through the loans and advances that we have with Jindal Saw should come to an end, hopefully during this year. Otherwise, definitely next year, because the movements have started, the repayments have started.
It was a very short point was that out of the existing order book of $654 million, I think so that the long gestation is the DI pipe. Others are shorter duration order booking, I think so. But when we look at your inventories, they amount to around 3,755 crore, whereas the order book size as on date is 5,000 crore. So just was trying to make the sense of the higher inventory on a 5,000 crore order book. We are maintaining inventory of 3,800 crore. That was the only point. And also, can we contemplate? Take the number of the game again differently, but only on the holistic part of it, sir. I was just trying to make understanding.
Understood your question. I have already addressed it. I have already addressed that now our working capital processes, we have improved a lot. So it is not just the order book and the inventory. Our ability to fill the order book is very much there, and therefore if you notice last few quarters, we have constantly been in the vicinity of 600 million. Executing contracts this year, we executed 11,000 crores as opposed to 9,000 crores last year. But the order book was there. So inventory, yes, because the slightly higher inventory is coal. Coal, you know, is imported. Coal has gone from $100 to $400. So now even it touched 600 for the, you know, higher category. So I understand, but it's not a concern because we have order books in the pipeline. We can get order books whenever we can. We are able to fill our order book as we execute, and we purposely are doing it in a manner so that the pricing of my product is based on the spot of the raw material.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side, sir.
Thank you very much.
Follow-up question
I take from the Rajiv. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikas for closing comments.
Giving us the opportunity. And sir, if you have any closing comments, so please go ahead.
I thank all my stakeholders, friends, people who are interested in us. Just to conclude, we are coming out of the valley pre-pandemic levels. We are moving the value segment, adding new technology, new products, but we are remaining now focused on the pipe. So while we continue to focus on our core competency, we are moving up the value chain, and we are hoping that that should give us a lot of good results for us as well as our stakeholders, friends and investors. So with this, thank you very much. Hope to see you after a quarter with a good result. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.